And let the church say amen.
Amen.
Mansion, robe, and a crown. I'm not, and never have been, any kind of a real estate wizard, but that sounds like a deal to me.
Amen.
You guys ready to trade it in?
Yeah.
Trade in all of this stuff here. Trade your house. Trade your yard. Trade it all. Just give it away and go home. Get our robe and crown and our mansion. That sounds good to me. That's what it's about, isn't it? It's about getting there. That's what the Christian life is about. I do want to thank Nicholas for reading the scripture to us.
Amen.
And, you know, I hope the Lord gives me enough years that I one day can hear him preach.
Amen.
Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing?
Yeah.
I'm so glad for the things that have been happening in the church here in Apple Valley of late, for the relationships that I have with all of you. And I look forward to having a better relationship with some of you than I have had. And we need to continue, don't we? I'll talk a little bit later about relationships, but the main relationship that we need to be concerned about is the one that we have with Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
Our Father in heaven sent him in our stead to die on that cross so that we can have that saving relationship with him. It matters. These words that Nicholas read to us here from Galatians 5, 22 and 23 on the fruits of the Spirit, I'm going to be speaking this morning on one of those, and that's kindness. Now, if you look at the list here, you don't see kindness. And that's because this is the King James Version. And King James, I believe, calls it gentleness. But we're going to use the word kindness, depending on the version of the Bible. I think most of them do use kindness. And it's such an important subject, I think, and it's so involved. And I tried to trim this down so it doesn't get too long. And if it's longer than you'd like for it to be, that means it's longer than I would like for it to be, so forgive me. But we'll do the best that we can. Now, specifically, and we'll get to it here, the kindness that I want to talk about is you find in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. We'll read in a minute. But Peter calls it brotherly kindness. As Christians, we all need and we all want to have confidence. We want assurance of our salvation, don't you?
Yes.
What kind of a salvation is it that we wake up every day wondering where we stand with God? There's Christians that live that way, and there's Christians that wake up realizing that they don't stand right with God, and that's no way to live. That's no way to live at all. But I want the opposite of that. I want to wake up every day thankful that I'm still alive and thankful that I know my relationship is
Amen.
Good with God and that I'm headed to heaven. I need that. And Peter calls it in this verse, he calls it making our salvation and our election sure. Let's read that. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. Now, don't leave the love part out of it, because we're going to discover that kindness, that's this brotherly kindness and love, are inseparably linked together. You can't have one without the other. We'll get to that. But Peter tells us here, when these attributes are added to our daily walk. Now, that's important to note. These aren't things that we can think about occasionally and it's going to work out well. Our daily walk, our daily living, our daily lives, these attributes must be in there. They must be influencing us in order to make our calling and election sure. If your calling An election isn't sure. If you wake up doubting where you stand with God, it's probably because these things are not in your life, or at least in the proportion that they should be. These things give us assurance. These things give us confidence in our salvation.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
I want that, as I said, but not just want it. I need that.
Amen.
I don't even want to do this if I can't know for sure.
Yeah.
Then I'm okay.
Amen.
If I got a doubt where I'm at, I might as well be in the world doubting.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Then you know what? If you doubt, you're not where you want to be. You've got to know. We've all got to know we're okay. But kindness now, let's try to get down to what we're talking about here. Kindness is it's an attribute that we all understand the meaning of it. We know when someone has been kind to us. When Peter tells us that we need to add this to our daily walk, he's telling us that what the NIV reads and calls, it uses the word mutual affection.
Okay.
That's what I was stumbling around there trying to find. Mutual affection. I knew it would come to me. And we understand that too, don't we? Caring for one another.
Yeah.
Now, it's not about the preacher caring for all of us, because that's his job, right? He's supposed to love us all. Mutual, we know what that means, right?
Yeah.
Got to love them back, right?
Yeah.
But it isn't just the preacher. It's all of us back and forth. Mutual affection is what we're talking about. Now, the Greek word is the word krestos, and it literally means, now this is what I want you to get, right? Listen, this is easy. That literally means useful, helpful, pleasant, and gracious is kindness. But kindness is becoming useful, helpful, and gracious toward one another.
That's right.
Now, Peter adds the word brotherly to this. Brotherly kindness. The word brotherly is from the word, and Stanley's just been recently talking about this, phileo in the Greek. And we know what that means, right? That's one of the words for love. So this word for brotherly kindness is a loving, brotherly loving kindness. And that's what I said, that are so inseparably linked that you can't do one without the other. We've got to care for one another. And so this mutual affection, it's the affection that usually, the way God designed it, family members naturally have that kind of affection for one another.
Right.
We like to be with our family members, most of them, most of the time, right? I mean, I know there's always that one, right? But we like to be, we have a mutual affection for those in our family that we love. And even that one, right? We don't give up. You don't give up on your family member. That's important. Brothers and sisters, I mess up sometimes.
Amen.
Don't quit on me.
Yeah.
Go get me. Go get me and do and say what you need to say to straighten me out. And hopefully you would welcome me to do the same, right? I'm not going to quit. Just don't quit on each other. This is the relationship I'm talking about. We need that relationship with God, but we need each other too.
Amen.
When I come and talk to you, how do you think God does his work on this earth?
Hmm.
It's through us.
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying I'm God when I come to you, but God uses me and he uses you so that we can help each other.
Amen.
We need to not give up. But church, this kindness, understand this. It's not kindness until it does something. We talk about love is not love until it actually does something. Kindness is not an attitude. It's not, well, you know, I have a good heart. I have good thoughts. I have pleasant, gentle, nice thoughts about you. Well, that's good. So what are you doing? You know, kindness is not kindness. It's not a feeling. It's a behavior. You're not kind to me if you keep it all here. And I'm guilty. Sometimes words help, don't they? Telling people what we think, but even more than the words, what do you do for each other? What do we do for each other. So what we have here is a natural progression when we speak of kindness. We have pity or sympathy or compassion or a combination of all those towards someone. We notice someone in need. And that need that we see moves us. You felt that, haven't you? You've seen a situation and you recognize the need of a person and it affects you emotionally. We're moved. And we're moved to a behavior. And that behavior is what we call kindness. When we do something for that person and it manifests itself not here. Now it starts here, but not here. It manifests itself in good works. Good works. Useful, gracious, merciful, benevolent behavior. Now it starts with one another in the household of God, but we don't limit it to that. That's how people are saved. Did you know that? By good works. You do good works and then they notice you. And they become interested to know where such a heart comes from to care for this person. And you tell them, it comes from God. It comes from Jesus Christ, our Savior. You see, church, our marriages will be great marriages. And our homes will be happy homes. And the church will have unity. And our world will be a better place only when brotherly kindness rules in our hearts. They can't even begin to know it unless we display it. Mm-hmm. We can make the difference in the world.
Amen.
One person at a time makes a difference.
Amen.
Ephesians 4, verses 30 through 32. Let's take a look. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You notice that? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Now, how is it that we would not, that's the negative, right? Not grieve the Spirit. Okay, let's read on. Get rid of. You don't want to grieve the God Spirit? I don't want to grieve God's Spirit. Then get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. And then what does it say? Be kind. That's the kindness, right? Mm-hmm. And compassionate to one another. Forgiving each other. I have to forgive you. You know why? Because I want God to forgive me.
Amen.
I need His forgiveness. And He's not going to do it if I don't have the same heart as His Son had as He hung on that cross and asked for God to forgive those who were nailing Him to it.
Amen.
Forgive each other just as Christ, our God, forgave us. Now our text that Nicholas so capably read to us. Verse 23. When we allow the Spirit of God to lead us, we will exhibit the fruit. Fruit. Now, I mentioned this to Stanley because he talked about, you know, the first one listed here is love. And he talked about love, right? And this is telling us to love, a commandment to love, if you will. But Stanley said, I believe it was Wednesday night or the last time we've been together so much, I don't even know when it was. But he did say that he doesn't love because it's a commandment. He loves because he has discovered how good it is to love.
Amen.
And so I told him, I said, well, you know what it is? This is the fruit of the Spirit, mm-hmm. right? And we know what fruit is, right?
Yes.
You like fruit?
Come on.
Yes.
Talk to him.
You eat it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It tastes good and then you want more.
Right.
That's what Stanley's talking about. He's tasted
yes.
the fruit of the Spirit.
Oh, amen.
He's tasted it.
Mm-hmm.
Now he wants to eat more of it. Why? Not because God says you got to do this. He does it because he wants to taste it again. He wants to continue to taste this good fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness is on this list. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, very quickly, because time's really moving here. Very quickly, three reasons why, you know, I'm going to not say should. I'm trying to get the should out of our vocabulary here. Three reasons why we must. Must is a better word. Because that's the truth, isn't it? We must be kind to one another. Reason number one, because it's an attribute of God's nature. If we want to be with God, I'll let you know in a little secret, we got to be like God.
That's right.
He don't want people with him that's not like him.
Amen.
And so Nehemiah 9:17 says, "Thou art a God ready to pardon, a gracious, merciful, patient, and slow to anger," he says of God. Now listen now, listen. He says, abundant in loving kindness. That's our God.
Amen.
Indeed, God is kind, God is good.
That's right.
Don't forget that. If things are bad in your life, it's not God that has made them bad. He is the answer. He's not the problem.
Amen.
Come on now.
Number two, kindness results in joy. Joy for the giver.
That's right.
Now see, that's where we err sometimes. I need to be kind to you to make you feel good. No. Has nothing to do with whether I'm kind to you and you feel good or not.
Amen.
You may not. Some people aren't going to feel good no matter what you do. Right?
Amen.
You're kind because of the blessing you receive from being kind. That's what Christians do. Now pay attention, church. Genuine happiness, genuine real joy is not found in our bank account. It's not found in how popular we are with other people, but it's found in rather how we treat others.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to say that again because you don't believe it, I don't think. We don't believe it. I know the world doesn't believe it. Our happiness is found, our joy is wrapped up in how we treat other people. God created us to have relationships. And that's what I started with, remember? Relationships with one another. You are not... You ever known a loner?
Yes.
A hermit? It's not a happy person. Not a happy person. God did not create us to live like that.
Amen.
We need each other. And it's okay to say that. See, we like to be independent. We like to have the Americans are like that, right? We don't need nothing or anybody, right?
Yes.
I don't need you. You know what?
Yeah.
If you want to please God, you got to recognize that not only do you need him, but you need your brothers and sisters that he gave to you.
Amen.
We need each other. We need this relationship. And these relationships is where we find the joy and the peace and the contentment and the happiness that we seek. It's in maintaining these relationships that we make our calling and election sure. We've been together a lot. When I say we, I wish I was saying all of us, but I'm not. I'm not. Some of us haven't been together with the others. We need a relationship. What kind of a relationship do you have with another person when you're never around the other person, or only around the person when you think God makes you be around the other person? I wonder if your calling and election can be sure in such relationships. I'm thinking that God is teaching us, no, it cannot be. Number three, we must be kind because it's beneficial to others. Well, duh, right? Other people like it when you're nice to them. But you know what? Kindness can influence other people. Just, you know, we call it being nice, right? We've discovered by now that it's a little bit more than just being nice to each other. But that's what we call it, being nice to each other. But kindness, what we really want to do as Christians, and it's with each other, but more with people out there, we want to influence them, don't we? We want them to notice us in a positive way that influences them. And kindness to people will influence them sometimes when nothing else will. Just a kind, nice word. You could go out and preach to them, and that may have no effect at all. In fact, if you start preaching with most people, it'll have the opposite effect that you intend for it to have. But if you start with a kind word, just an act of kindness, that'll influence them. Why do you think Jesus Christ influenced so many during his lifetime. So many people. And he continues. That's the thing that's amazing. He continues to influence millions of people some 2,000 years later. And you know why? It's his acts of kindness and the ones that he continues to extend to people. They live on. And the good things that we do, the good works and kindness that we do, will live after we do. People will remember those things. Indeed, we ought to be kind. Now listen to this. Simply because of the beneficial effect that it has on other people.
Amen.
Isn't that enough?
Yeah.
Isn't being kind to somebody and seeing them smile?
That's great.
Isn't that a reward that's worth?
Yeah.
Worth it, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
A beneficial effect. And you know what? It starts with our spouse. See, sometimes we think, well, this is for everybody else. So we think we're free to do whatever we want to do. You don't have to be kind to my wife. We're married, for crying out loud, right? Yeah. Well, no. That's where it starts, right? And your children. Well, they just have to do what I tell them to do, you know? Well, you know what? God tells you, you got to be kind to them too, to your children, to your wife. And then things are, you know, those relationships and the church, the lost. Kindness to each other just because it feels good. So how do we do it? That's fine and dandy. We should be kind, right? How do we do it? If kindness is a behavior, and we've discovered, yeah, I don't think anybody would argue that. Kindness is a behavior. What must we do to become more kind to other people? Now, I'm going to point to a parable that we're familiar with, the parable of the Good Samaritan, right?
Okay.
Because I can't think of a better example, even though we all already know this. We have here a story that gives us some practical lessons in brotherly kindness.
Okay.
Let's look. Jesus tells of a man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. We remember that.
Yeah.
And he fell into hands of robbers, and they beat him. They stole his goods, and they left him to die. Bad man. A priest came by, and he saw the man, and he passed by on the other side of the road.
Yeah.
And then a Levite, he came by, and he saw him do, and for whatever the reason, he didn't want to help either.
Right.
So he passed on by. Then a Samaritan. I add the word lowly Samaritan, right? He came by and he saw this man, he saw his needs, and bound up his wound, and he placed him on his own donkey. And the Samaritan then walked and had the man ride on the donkey. And he took him to an inn and he cared for him. And when he had to leave the next day, he told the innkeeper to watch after him and care for him. And whatever expenses that the innkeeper incurred taking care of this man, when he returned, he would repay him. Kindness.
Amen.
Now you say, well, that's going above and beyond. It's not. That's the problem. We think it is. That's what God requires. That kind of kindness. What do we learn about brotherly kindness from this parable? Well, first, kindness is being sensitive to the needs of other. And that sounds pretty obvious, doesn't it? Being sensitive to the needs of others. Now, I'm convinced that a lot of good-intentioned people, perhaps even some of us, we're not involved with kindness as we should be because we're not sensitive enough to the needs of others. I think it's possible now. I would hope not with most of us, or probably all of us, I would hope not. But some of us might have been insensitive and so disinterested in others for such a long period of time, you know, that we might notice that nobody wants to share their problems with us. Does nobody ever talk to you about their problems? Some people, they do. And I know some of you are those people. They just talk to you. Why do you think that is? Why do you think it is that some people never hear other people's problems, and that other people always hear other people's problems. I think there's a reason for that. You know what I think it is? I think it has to do with this sensitivity. We can't fool people. We think we're fooling people. People know when you care. You say, well, I'm nice to them. They know you're nice, but you don't care. You can be nice and not care, right?
Right.
Well, God expects me to be nice. I'll be nice to you. I won't say anything mean, but I don't really care what happens to you. People know that. They know you're insensitive to their needs. They know you don't care. You see, if we're thinking, I don't know anybody that needs help. I don't know. I don't know anyone I should go out of my way to be kind to. Then perhaps, just perhaps, our attitude needs an adjustment. Do you think?
Yeah.
Perhaps our disposition towards people, perhaps we're just insensitive, and that's why people don't talk to us. You think? Maybe.
Yeah.
Secondly, we must know that God is at work in our lives.
Amen.
You say, well, I'm a Christian. I know that. Well, really? Did you know that God provides these opportunities for us? So I don't see them. Well, you're not paying attention. Okay? That's a fact. God is providing opportunities for kindness in our lives. God is at work in our life the same way he was in the Samaritan's life and the priest and the Levite. He provided an opportunity for the three of them. Two of them decided not to take advantage of the opportunity that God offered them. And I say opportunity, and that's exactly what it is. Paul tells us in Ephesians 2:10 that we are created, why? To do good works.
That's right.
You say, wait a minute, I think I'm created to have a good time. That's not what God said. You're created to do good works. Works, not only that, he says, works that God prepared in advance for us to do. God's got a list of good works for you. And in my list, I got mine, right? But mine's not yours.
That's right.
And I don't care who you are, he's got that list for you.
Yeah.
And if you're not doing it, you're just not doing what God puts you here to do. You're not fulfilling your life's purpose. That's what you're here for, is to do these things. You say, well, what good works? Those he places before us. Those God-prepared moments, those opportunities for kindness that he providentially, well, we need to study providence, I think, God's providence, that he providentially brings into our lives. When I say providentially, that's God working in our lives, not in a miraculous miracle kind of way, just in everyday things. He's intervening all the time in our lives. We need to be paying attention. If you pay attention, you'll see it. When you see that person that needs help, your first thought is, well, somebody needs to help that guy, right? Well, maybe God is providing you think, providentially with an opportunity. Church, acts of kindness will enlarge tremendously when we understand that God brings these people into our lives. It's God working in our lives. They're not just people standing on the street corner. Things happen to Christians all of the time that God causes it to happen. Don't we believe that?
Amen.
Don't you believe? Do you think God is just something up in heaven that's not paying any attention? You're his child. You don't think he's in your life working? When we see those in need are brought to us by God's providence, by his divine intervention, doesn't that kind of change the light that we put on it?
Amen.
That is not just a person there that's in need. It is a person that's in need. That is an opportunity that God has given me to reach out.
Amen.
Thirdly, kindness demands that we look past our differences.
Amen.
Past our differences. We got them, don't we? We're different. Look around you. We're really different when we look around and see each other, right? You know what? We must, not should, overcome our prejudices. We must know what this Samaritan knew. He had to look beyond his personal feelings. Samaritans were treated terribly. And probably this man that he helped would have treated him terribly. So this Samaritan, he saw a man in need. He had to look past his prejudice in order to be able to help that man. This man likely thought the Samaritan to be no better than a dog. And that Samaritan knew that. But he didn't let it stop him. Biblical kindness, mutual affections demand that we look past the labels that we put on one another and those around us. I wish I didn't do this. And I wish you didn't do it. But we do. He's a drunk. Uh-uh. Well, you know, they're good people, but they're Catholic.
Uh-oh, watch it, preacher.
You know that guy? He's a liberal.
Watch it.
Well, you know, the only thing wrong with them, they're just lazy. They're just lazy. That guy, he's just a bum. He's not worth it.
Wow.
They just don't deserve it. Is it possible that there are some we will not help because we can't get past our own prejudiced nature, our own personal feelings, our own labels that we have put on people? The truth is, we will not help. We will not teach, we will not evangelize, we will not share Jesus with those that we have already determined do not deserve our effort or our time. We will not. We've got to stop this. You want to go to heaven? If you're doing this, you've got to stop it. I've got to stop it. Kindness means that we might also now rise above our fears. Well, I'm not afraid of anything. Well, maybe not. Maybe you are. This Jericho Road that we talked about in the parable. Frequently, unscrupulous men would fake a robbery, complete with artificial wounds and artificial blood. And then when a person would stop to help them, that person became the victim.
That's right.
They'd conk them in the head and possibly leave them for dead. And they're the ones that had loving care in their hearts to help this person, and they've been taken advantage of. It happened. The Samaritan knew that. So did the priest, and so did the Levite. Hurting people are passed by every day simply because others don't want to get involved, and sometimes it's fear. Well, you know, now I'm going to try to qualify this just a little. You got to use good sense. You know, if people are out there having a knife fight, you might want to avoid that situation. You've got to use judgment. This involves using good judgment. But too many times we use it as an excuse. And we're just afraid and we don't want to be involved. You see, helping the poor, the downtrodden, the sick, the social outcast, taking the gospel to others involves rising above our fears and be willing to take a risk. Now, you've got to assess that risk. Amen. I'm not going to condemn you, but you've got to do this. You've got to do this. What are others going to think if I stop and help this person? You know, I fear that the priest and the Levite, that might have been involved in their thinking. If I stop and help this Samaritan, you know, this guy, what are people going to think of me? And I've seen this, and I've had this thought. I wish I didn't, but I did. What if I stop and help them, I might get what they got. That guy's sick, right? You think Jesus thought that when he touched the leper? To heal him, you think he thought that? Will I be taken advantage of or robbed? It's possible. It isn't it? Will they appreciate what I'm about to do? And my question to you is, does that matter? Does that matter? Have you forgotten who you are and what you are and why you're doing this? Simply put, mutual affection is our own willingness to become personally involved in another's need, whatever fear or whatever the risk involved. We need to, you know, I can understand that we may choose to pass on an opportunity sometimes. But if you pass on every opportunity, I wonder, don't you? Don't you wonder if you're taking advantage of what God is putting in front of you? Biblical kindness is going to, now, I'm not going to lie to you. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. This Samaritan, look at what he did. He poured out his own wine, his own oil that he would have used for himself. He put this man on his own donkey and he walked. And when he came to the innkeeper, he told him to take care of it. It was his money that he was going to spend to take care of this man. Helping others will cost. It will cost you money. It will cost you time. And it will cost you energy. But I don't know. I think that's some of the reasons that we don't do it. But you know, another one, it's going to cost you your pride. You're not too good to help somebody. That person is not beneath you. That poor unfortunate soul has a need. And put away your pride and help him. Kindness is our taking on God's nature. This Samaritan did what Jesus did for us. Have you thought about that?
Amen.
Brotherly kindness is having the heart of Jesus live in us. You know, Jesus didn't count, Philippians 2, he didn't count equality with God as something to be grasped, something to hold on to. He left heaven. He left heaven and he emptied himself and he came down and he took on the nature of humanity. He became a servant and humbling himself to death, not just any death, but the demeaning death of a criminal on the cross, the shameful death. And Jesus, I'm not going to say Jesus didn't ever care about what people thought. But he didn't ever care about what people thought of him as a result of his doing what his father expected him to do. I care what people think of me. But I should never care what people are going to think of me if I help someone else. He was willing to empty. Jesus emptied his pride. You say, well, Jesus didn't have pride. He was a human being. He emptied himself of this. This was baggage he didn't need. He got rid of it. He was willing to leave the comfort of heaven for you and me. He was willing to take the risk of sin in his own life for our forgiveness. Kindness is costly.
Amen.
But within it is the confidence. Remember we started out with that? It's the confidence that we're talking about. The confidence of God's nature, you know, by taking on kindness. Amen? Yeah. Kindness is, it's the way we know this fruit of the Spirit. It's the way we measure whether we're pleasing God or not. You see, our confidence in our salvation is wrapped up in these things. Faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, brotherly kindness. This morning, we have an opportunity. And you know what? I don't know. If you're visiting with us, I'm so glad you're here. I am. I really am glad you're here. But it's not an accident, see? Now, I recognize that by God's providence, you're here. You may not recognize it, but it's a fact that God placed you here. Perhaps he wanted you to hear the things I'm saying.
Amen.
I would hope so. And I hope that you don't just hear these things, but you have now an opportunity that God has providentially placed you in this situation. You have an opportunity to respond to God's brotherly kindness. You have an opportunity through Jesus Christ to get your life right.
Amen.
Some here in our audience, and this isn't a guess. Sometimes I guess because I don't know. But I'm not guessing here, I know. Some of you in this audience need to become a Christian.
Amen.
Some of you need to become a Christian by your faith in Christ and your repentance and New Testament baptism, immersion in water for the forgiveness of sins. Others of us here have done that, but we have a need too. We have a need to forsake unkind moments. We have a need to walk and step with the Spirit. adding this Jesus quality to our life. Brotherly kindness to our lives. Do what God expects you to do this day. Do it now as we stand and sing the announced song.